Well, good morning, everyone. I'd like to share a verse of scripture this morning from the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, verse 25. It says this, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies." I tell you, when I first came across that verse years ago, it reminded me how important that God takes marriage and how important it is that I prepare my family to meet Jesus one day. Let's pray, and then we'll get started with the service. Jesus, we love you. We're just so grateful for this day you've given to us. We know it's hot. We know it's muggy outside. Lord, we stand upon your word that we're two or more gathered in your name, that you are right there in the midst of us. Please help us, guide us, and lead us. Help us to tune out the world right now. Just focus on the God who loves us, that he would forgive us of our sins. And I pray, Lord, today, if somebody might be here who's never asked you into their heart or for the forgiveness of their sins, that today would be the day, God, that they would just make that drawing towards you. And we love you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. Trust all of you had a good 4th of July. Good? Yeah? See little fireworks here and there? A little extra food to eat? Good times. Good times. I want you to think about what these things have in common: bifocal glasses, iPhones, the polio vaccine, flat screen TVs, Walt Disney World, prosthetic limbs, organ transplants, and airplanes. What do they all have in common? They were all imagined, dreamed of before they were developed and built. The first person to walk on the moon was Neil Armstrong in 1969, and before that happened, others dreamed about it, others imagined it. Throughout time, people have studied the planets and the stars, and in 1865, Jules Verne wrote a book specifically about landing on the moon one day. In the 1940s, engineer Wernher von Braun imagined a rocket-propelled spacecraft going to and landing on the moon. And on July 16, 1969, Neil Armstrong put his moon boots on top of the moon dust. And it happened because people dared to imagine it long before it took place. Gladys Alward didn't like her height nor her hair color. She was 4 feet 10 inches tall, while her friends were much taller. She had black hair. All of her friends had blonde hair. Gladys didn't like her looks, and she wondered why God made her that way. She wanted to be a missionary, but felt like she didn't qualify. But she dreamed of being one. And one day, Gladys was appointed as a missionary to Shanghai. Upon arriving, she looked at the people to whom God had sent her, and Gladys wrote this about it: "Every single one of them were my height with black hair." Gladys saved close to 300 orphaned children, adopting 5 of them, all because she dreamed it and she imagined that it could happen under God's leadership. Anyone here ever heard of Wilma Rudolph? Probably at least heard the name. Wilma suffered scarlet fever, whooping cough, and measles as a child. She survived infantile paralysis that required a leg brace until she was 9 years old. And despite the trials, Wilma refused to allow her difficulties to defeat her. She imagined, she dreamed of becoming a world-class runner when the doctor said, "You'll never walk again." You know what Wilma did when she was 16? At 16 years old, she participated in the 1956 Olympics and did the same thing in the 1960 Olympics. She won 3 gold medals, setting world records in all of her events. She was considered the fastest woman on earth. It would not have happened if she didn't dream about it, if she didn't imagine it. Folks, everything in some sense starts with imagination. Nothing becomes reality until somebody first dreams about it. Every great business, every company, every piece of art, every musical note, somebody had to dream it and imagine it before it actually happened. One of the greatest gifts that God has given us is the gift of imagination, the gift of dreaming. It's the ability to see things in your mind and to think and create with mental pictures in your mind that could become reality for you. So this morning, I want to talk to you about daring to imagine. We're going to see what God says about daring to imagine, daring to dream. If you have your outlines, take them out. You can write in the blanks. You can fill those in. The first thing I want to talk about is, number one, that imagination shapes my life. Imagination shapes my life. The way you think is going to affect the way you feel, and the way you feel is going to affect the way you act. If you want to change the way you act, you need to change the way you think. Look at Proverbs 23:7. It says, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so he is." It's God's way of saying, I want you to understand that how I work in your life is through your thoughts. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Look at Proverbs 4:23. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Your life is shaped by what you think, by what you imagine, by what you dream. Walt Disney said, "Disneyland will never be completed. It will continue to grow as long as there is imagination left in the world." He's right, isn't he? All of his parks have continued to grow exponentially. Folks, you and your life will never be completed on this side of heaven as long as you allow God to develop and direct your mind, as long as you use imagination with which God has gifted you. Imagination shapes our lives. Number two, imagination is essential to living by faith. Imagination is essential to living by faith. In fact, you can't live by faith without using your imagination, because we can't see God physically, so we've got to use our minds, our imaginations, to have some idea of God when we worship, when we pray, when we read Scripture. Look at Hebrews 11:1. What is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It's the evidence of things we cannot yet see. Notice two things. First of all, faith is a way of seeing. He says here that God says whatever we hope for, when we believe it's going to happen, then it very well may happen. That's faith. God gives us two ways of seeing. First, you can see through your physical eyes. That's one way of seeing. But secondly, you can see through the imaginative, your eyes of imagination that are in your mind. You can picture things in your head. When you dream them, you visualize them. That's another way of seeing. Do you remember when you were a kid at Christmas time? You'd come downstairs and all the Christmas presents be around the tree, and you began to look for ones that had your name on it. Remember that? How many of you did that before, the night before, and your parents didn't know about it, right? I was always told, if I catch you going down there and looking through presents, you're not getting anything. Didn't bother me. I know how soundly my dad slept. But you go down there and you look underneath the Christmas tree and you look at all of these boxes, and when you see one with your name on it, you're going, what is that? That's about the size of the game I want. And you find out 2 hours later when you open it, it was underwear and socks. Right? But you were using your imagination. You were using the imagination in your mind to try and understand what was there. You couldn't see it, but you could imagine it. And this is a tool that God says you need to use as you walk with Him, because we can't see God. So when we can't see God, we need to imagine. It's what we do in church when you take the Lord's Supper or if we have baptism. Those things help you imagine. The juice and the bread in communion symbolizes the body and the blood of Christ. That's something you imagine. You can't see it. God gives us that imagination, even in ways that we worship Him. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, we set our eyes not on what we see, but on what we cannot see. What we see will last only a short time, but what we cannot see will last forever. What does that mean? It means that the material is temporary and the immaterial is eternal. On the other hand, you can't see the Father, you can't see the Son or the Holy Spirit, but they're going to last for eternity. You can't see your own soul, but it's going to last for eternity. The Bible says you need to focus on the things that will last, that you actually can't see with your eyes. You have to imagine them. You have to dream about them. So my imagination shapes my life. My imagination is essential to my living by faith. And number three, great lives are built around great dreams. No one is naturally a great person. You didn't just pop out of your mom being a great person. You become great by attaching your life to a great cause, a great purpose, or a great dream. You need something bigger than yourself to draw you out of yourself, to make you grow better than yourself. That makes you a great person. And God gives us what we need for that to be accomplished. Until you have a great dream, you'll never be a great person. Greatness becomes from what you attach yourself to. You need something bigger than yourself that pulls you out, stretches you into becoming the person God wants you to be. Ephesians 1:18 says this, may God enlighten the eyes of your mind so that you can see the hope that His calling holds for you. Look at what he says here. May God enlighten the eyes of your mind. He's not talking about the physical eyes. He's talking about what's in your mind, the imagination that you have. He says, I pray that your imagination will come alive in faith. You'll be able to see God's dream for your life and fulfill it. You'll be able to see God's vision for your life, God's purpose and plan for your life, when you see with the eyes of your mind the imagination of what God wants for you and for me. God has a calling for you. I know that's hard sometimes. Christians, believers say, no, only the preachers are called. That's so wrong. I was a Christian. I was a believer long before I ever became a pastor. A pastor is what I do. It's my job. But I'm just like you. I'm just a believer, struggling, having some victories, enjoying, going, I'm just like you. God says, I want to give you my dream for your life. That's your calling. He says, when you understand what I made for you, what I've built for you, what vision I have for your life, then you're going to have hope. You know the hope about his calling for you when you begin to imagine and dream what it could be, what it might be. If you want significance in your life, folks, if you want satisfaction in your life, if you want fulfillment in your life, here's what you've got to do. You've got to stop following your dream and start following God's dream. God is the one who gives you the imagination. He's the one who speaks to you about his dream for your life. But if you can't imagine your calling, if you can't dream God's dream for your life, you're just kind of going through life. You're not really fulfilling what God wants for your life and how he wants to work through your life. Sometimes we're just existing. God wants us to be much more. Look at this verse out of Proverbs 29:18. He says, I don't want you to perish emotionally. I'm sorry. He says, where there is no vision, the people perish. We've probably heard that verse quite a bit. Where there's no vision, the people perish. I don't think God wants us to perish emotionally or spiritually. He wants us to realize and fulfill his purpose for his work. I want us to realize and fulfill God's purpose for each of us, but I also want to do it for Grace Point Church. Grace Point Church needs vision, imagination, dreams that we will collectively work toward and fulfill. Now just remember, folks, particularly for churches, but it happens for everybody. God's purpose can come in seasons of life. Many churches serve God for the season that God has called them to serve and for the amount of time that God has called them to do that. For example, what do these churches have in common? The church at Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamon, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. What do they have in common? Well, there are churches that are mentioned in the book of Revelation. All of these churches existed and flourished in the New Testament. Growing churches, incredible success in ministries. And none of them exist today. Not one. Because God birthed them as a church. God used them for a season. And then their purpose was over. And that was it. That happens sometimes in life. We go through periods of seasons where God's called us to do this. And we're doing. And then it's over. We go to the next thing. I think Crossroads Church and Calvary Church are a great modern-day example of this truth. They were both here for a set period of time. They served God's purpose, and God said, now I have a different direction for you, and now Grace Point Church is here. One day, somewhere down the line, could be centuries, but one day, I'm guessing, God will do something through Grace Point that wasn't really what we were expecting. That's how God works. We serve God for a purpose, for a time, and when that's over, we move on to the next thing. Number four, God's dream for my life is bigger than my dream. God's dream for my life is bigger than my dream, exponentially bigger, larger. It's eternally significant. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by his Spirit working deeply and gently within us. Look what he says. God can do anything far more than we could ever imagine. God can do that in your life. God can do it in and through our church. You may have no idea what God wants to do in your life. We have no idea all of what God wants to do in our church. You are a living, small, understanding person of what God really wants you to do. Sometimes we only understand a fraction. We need to let our minds, under God's leadership, grow bigger than what we typically think about. God's dream for your life is enormous. He says, I can do more than you can imagine or guess or even request in your wildest dreams. So regarding you and our church, God wants me, God wants you, and God wants Grace Point Church to dream big. He wants us to dream big. He wants us to use the imagination that he gave us, because as we dream big, it honors God. It shows faith. It shows trust. We need to let the size of our God determine the size of our goals. We need to let the size of my God determine the size of my goals. God's dream for my life is always bigger than my dream. So we say, God, show me your dream. How can I begin to imagine the dream you've given me? How can we understand the dream you've given to Grace Point Church? Sometimes he starts us out small because we can't handle the big, but God will get us to a point where it's the big. It'll challenge our faith, and God will do that for Grace Point Church as well, I have no doubt. Speaking of doubts, number five, doubt is the enemy of imagination. Doubt is the enemy of imagination. Doubt and fear can neutralize what God wants to do in your life. It takes courage to imagine. Why? Because most people don't imagine. They live on a very safe level. And sometimes it's challenging and unsafe to dream and to imagine. Sometimes people don't do that because they're afraid of failure. There's a really great story in the Bible about a man who had a son. The son was sick. The son was very sick. And they came to Jesus. And in Mark chapter 9, we pick up the story and look at what it says. The man said to Jesus, please heal my son if you can. That's interesting. This is Jesus. And the man is saying, if you can. Jesus replied, what do you mean, if I can? If I can. Anything is possible if a person believes. And the father replied, I do believe, but help me not to doubt. I love this passage because I love the authenticity in it. I love the honesty of this guy. Jesus, can you heal my son? Can you do it? If you can, will you do it? Jesus said, what do you mean if? He said, well, I'll tell you what. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. You've ever had that struggle? Faith in God, God, I know you can do it. In this situation, I know you can work it out. So God, do it. But God, if I'm honest, I got to say, I really don't believe it's going to happen. I really don't believe you're going to do this in a timing that's good for me. God, I believe, but help my unbelief. To me, this is honest faith. God, honest faith. Sometimes we say, God, do this. This is a great thing. And another part of us says, but I really doubt. But we don't tell God that, like he doesn't know. We just need to come clean and get honest with God. Individually, as a church, And you know what Jesus said? The rest of the story says that Jesus said, "That's good enough for me. Your faith, conflicted as it is, you trust me, but you're honest with your faith and say, but I have doubts." Jesus said, "That's good enough for me." And he healed that boy. I wish I understood this passage long ago, years ago, decades ago. Because I was taught if you had faith all the time, you could do all these great things. And I just kept coming up short. I am so glad I understand this story better now. Now, it's true, if we doubt everything all the time, it can impede our imagination and in our dreams. Then our mind will just shoot down everything we think. And if that's the case, one thing you need to do to make sure that doesn't happen is to surround yourself with people who are dreamers, who have great imagination. They can challenge you when you just start saying, "Can't do this, can't do that, can't do this." Don't allow doubt to impede your imagination. God gives you a dream, you're thinking of something, you're imagining something. "I believe. God, I have some unbelief. Work this out." Number 6, God's Spirit and God's Word fuel my imagination. God's Spirit and God's Word fuel my imagination. These are the two sources that God provides to energize your dreams so you don't run out of gas. First, he gives you his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Secondly, he gives you his Word, the promises of the Bible. Look in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper who will be with you forever. That helper is the Spirit of truth. You know him because he lives in you and will be in you." This is where power for the Christian comes to live in life. It's not self-help psychology. It's not to build yourself up with positive mental attitudes. This is the Holy Spirit of God in you, working in you, guiding you, teaching you, revealing things to you, lifting you up, convicting you. God gave us that Spirit, his Holy Spirit, to be a resource, to be a power in our lives. And the Holy Spirit keeps us going, helps us continue to imagine. The other source for refueling is God's Word, the Bible. Look at Psalm 119. "Open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your law. Help me understand the meaning of your commandments, and I will meditate on your wonderful miracles." What's the key to being refueled through the Spirit of God and through God's Word? One of the big things is the key is to have a daily quiet time. You got to have some time alone with you and your Heavenly Father. I don't care when you do it. I really don't care how you do it. Maybe it's what you do on your drive to work. Maybe you can meditate and drive okay. But you need time with your Heavenly Father. Maybe you read a verse, maybe you use a devotional guide that even guides you in your prayers. You need that one-on-one time. We think about relationships down here. Maybe it's a sibling, maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a cousin, maybe it's just a really good friend. You can't really tell me you have a good relationship with them if you don't spend time with them. You need to spend time. And it's the same way with God. You need it on a daily basis. You listen to God as you read his word. You talk to God in prayer. Look what it says in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. "The sovereign Lord has given me his words of wisdom, so I know what to say to all these weary ones. Morning by morning, he awakens me and opens my understanding to his will." get together with God, let the Holy Spirit and the Bible speak to you, encourage you to refuel your imagination, to energize you. Daring to imagine. I seriously want you to think about this for a minute now. What is God wanting you to dare to imagine? What dreams that you have that have just fallen off the wayside, wasn't God's timing, you've just let them go, that you need to think about, imagine about, reinvent? What is God wanting you to imagine and to dream for your life, for the life of your family? You've got to wrestle with this. You've got to come up with something. And I ask the same question of our church. What is God wanting us to dare to imagine for Grace Point Church? Well, I was thinking of some things. I just wrote a few things out that I dare to imagine for Grace Point Church. I dare to imagine that Grace Point Church will be and remain unified in all that God calls us to do. I'm going to tell you now, and I've told you this before multiple times, we are unified. We are together in what God's called us to do, but the enemy, Satan, will do everything he can do to mess that up. I'm telling you, one of the greatest tools of Satan is to bring discord into a group of believers. We need to prayerfully ask God to give us the strength and the wisdom and the humility not to allow that to happen. I dream, I imagine that we will continue to be unified every day going forward. I dare to imagine that Grace Point Church will realize the difference between our personal preferences and what God's will is, and that God's will always triumphs over what we prefer. Now, that's big. I love to hear your stories just like you have no choice but to hear mine. I preach. But this church is not here to serve me or my preferences. When God births his people as individuals and as a church, we say, God's will, not mine. Well, I want this. Fine, let's talk about it. Let's imagine it. But if you don't get it, you still need to be with the group. I imagine that we realize the difference between personal preferences and what God's will is, and that we will always choose God's will. Number three, I dare to imagine that Grace Point Church will gladly make adjustments to our grounds and our buildings outside and inside, realizing doing so we are not just trying to give our property and our buildings a facelift, but we are being good stewards of what God has given us, knowing that lost people may be more inclined to visit our church and to come back when it looks like we care about our facilities. I dare to imagine that Grace Point Church will continue to worship God in spirit and in truth, full of love for God and being truthful about ourselves, that we come to the Father just as I am, without one plea. And we welcome all others to come just as they are as well. Did you hear that last part? Churches, I don't know where we got this idea. When lost people come into a church and they don't act like we do, it's because they're not like we are yet. They don't know what happens in here. We've got to make them feel comfortable and welcome. That's what Jesus did. Look at the people that came to Jesus. They were not people who sat on the front row of the synagogue. They were sinners, lost. All of them hurting. And if things had been different in their life, they probably wouldn't have chosen the lifestyle that they were living, but it was tough. Those are the people that Jesus came to, and he welcomed. The ones who thought they were high and mighty, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they're the ones that Jesus talked to rough. They're the ones that Jesus said, you guys are, just get out of here. Your heart is so far from being right. I dare to imagine that Grace Point Church will develop a heart for the lost, and that we will equip our folks to know how to share Jesus with others, and that we will never tire of doing whatever it takes to win one more person to Jesus. I've heard church members throughout the time I've been a pastor, some 35 years, say, well, you know, they're just different. They don't do this. They don't think the way we think. I'm uncomfortable with that. I'm like, okay, that's fine. They probably feel pretty uncomfortable coming in here. They don't know what's going on. We have to develop a mindset for winning lost people to Jesus. If we don't do that, why are we here? If all we do is come and worship God, which is good, we don't go out there and try and win people to Christ or bring them to church and allow us to be a part of that process. If we don't do that, why are we here? Seriously, I really don't want to be a part of a church that does not want to do that. It is my dream to have a heart for the lost and to be uncomfortable when lost people come here, if that's the way it makes us feel, but to be loving and receptive. I have a dream that Grace Point Church will give financially, generously, as in the New Testament they did, so that we can do all that God calls us to do in being the church God wants us to be. Now, up until now, I'm hearing these things, I'm reading them out, you're going, yeah, preach it, Kevin, I got it, I like it. What, money? Did you say finances? Sometimes I think the church people, or some of them, think that we just get our money to do the work because God just funnels it into our checking account. No! We need you to give. If you're serious about growing God's kingdom, you'll do these things and you'll give. Minimum. When you grow to it, 10% tithe. Some of you can give more than that, and you should. Now, if you're new here, I'm not putting you down. And if you're a guest, we don't expect you to give at all. Can if you want to. But if you're here at Grace Point and you're a member, yes, we expect you to do it because that's what God says that you should do. I dare to imagine that Grace Point Church will provide avenues to seek out and reach teens and young adults for Jesus. I don't know how that would work out. That's not my area of specialty, but I think we need to do it. Because if we don't bring teens in and young adults in, what are we, one generation away from saying, see ya? I dare to imagine that Grace Point Church will be open to going to two services. For if we do what I have dared to imagine, then one worship service won't be able to accommodate everyone who wants to be here. I dare to imagine that Grace Point Church will baptize more people than we can begin to count in our church baptistry and in the Atlantic Ocean, representing commitments to Jesus. It's time to get some people wet for the right reasons. I dare to imagine that Grace Point Church will be so filled with God's Spirit that we will sit back and wonder, how did all this happen? How did all of this happen? What do you dare to imagine for Grace Point Church? What do you dare to imagine for your life, for yourself? Will you pray with me, please? God, thank you for the time we've been in this worship with our music, looking into your word about imagining, about daring to dream. You've called us to do that. God, give us the dreams you want for our own personal lives. Give us the dreams you want us to have for your church, Grace Point Church. Make them to be big dreams, God. Make them to be dreams that it's going to take faith for us to follow through in carrying them out. Make them to be the kind of dreams that will desire in all of the dreams that we reach people who aren't saved, who are not believers, or we reach out to believers who've somehow gotten out of fellowship with you. Give us those kind of dreams, God. Give us dreams for our personal lives, our family life, our business life, a life in retirement. Show us, God. Help us to imagine and to carry out your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Well, we hope that you have received a challenge today as well to just imagine what God wants to do in your life and dream those dreams where there is no vision, the people perish. And obviously, we want to thrive and grow with Him. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this day. The excitement, the dream that we have to serve you, not out of our own strength, but out of your vision and your goals in our life, your calling and the gifts that you give us. Help us to search those out and find meaning and purpose as never before. For we love you, Lord. We thank you for that opportunity. We pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.